The visit of the Syrian president to Iran after 8 years of war in the Arab country began has surprised many. After all, this was the first visit to Iran since the Syrian war began. In this edition of the debate, we will look at why this visit is taking place at this time and whether it means defeat for the U.S. and its allies. We'll also look at how this has solidified the resistance front.
On Monday, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad visited Iran in one of his rare foreign trips. The visit came after the Syrian army, backed by its allies, including Iranian military advisors, managed to restore relative peace to the country following years of militancy. The Syrian president met with leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, in the capital, Tehran. During the meeting, Ayatollah Khamenei said the key to Syria's victory over the U.S. and its puppets during the war on the Arab country was the Syrian president and people's perseverance. The leader said Syria emerged victorious from a war waged by a U.S.-European coalition helped by their regional allies. He, however, urged Syria to remain vigilant in the face of new plots by adversaries. Ayatollah Khamenei cited the U.S. decision to carve out a buffer zone in Syria as one of the plots against the axis of resistance. The leader described the war on Syria as a strategic flaw on the part of the enemies as they failed to notice the difference between Syria and other Arab countries. Ayatollah Khamenei further reaffirmed Iran's continued support for Syria. He said the Islamic Republic is proud of its backing for the Syrian government and people during the conflict. The Syrian president thanked Iran for its unlimited support for Syria. He also drew a parallel between the Syrian conflict and Iraq's imposed war on Iran. Assad said the myth that the U.S. does decide the fate of other countries is crumbling due to Syria's victory in the war. The Syrian president also met with his Iranian counterpart, Hassan Rouhani. The Iranian president pledged continued support for Damascus, saying Tehran will spare no efforts to help restore peace and security to Syria. Since the outbreak of a crisis in Syria in 2011, Iran maintained close ties with Damascus despite an all-out campaign by some regional and trans-regional countries to overthrow the Syrian government. Even Syria's former Arab allies ostracized Syria in the political arena, supported anti-government groups with arms and ammunition, and insisted that Assad must leave power. Iran, however, rejected the military solution to the crisis and stressed only a political solution determined by Syrian people could decide the country's future. Following the territorial defeat of militant and terrorist groups in Syria, Iran has ramped up efforts with its allies, particularly Russia and Turkey, to help facilitate a political resolution to the Syrian crisis.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, political commentator and Middle East expert, Brian Downing, joins us from Washington, D.C. And we have journalist and political commentator, Said Mohsen Abbas, who joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Said Mohsen Abbas, I'll start with you. The visit by the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to Iran, the first visit since the war on his country began. What does this signify, and why do you think it's happening now?
Well, it signifies the strength of Iranian-Syrian relations. After all that they've gone through together, they're very welcome to actually savor the victory, number one. And secondly, it's also sending a signal, a clear signal, to the imperialist, Zio-imperialist forces that actually they won't have an easy time trying to break the alliance between the Islamic Republic of Iran and Syria. The bottom line is that having lost the military struggle to oust President Assad, the Americans and the Israelis are now resorting to getting their own proxies, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, the usual suspects, to start pouring the offer of money into Syria. Of course, Syria needs reconstruction. And this is one of the next opportunities that they see, that by coming in and throwing and lavishing money at a country which they basically had the main hand in destroying with their support of the Takfiri mercenaries, with the supply supply of arms and funding that was channeled from the Americans to the likes of Jabhat al-Nusra, all al-Qaeda offshoots, basically, in that region. So it's a little bit rich, but the Western imperialists are still having the cheek to try and drive, if you like, a wedge between the Russian, Syrian, Islamic Republic of Iran connection, an axis, if you like, and trying to replace it with their own stooges and puppets.
So what do you think, Brian Downing? Does this visit mean that Iran and Syria, along with Russia, I would guess, should go in that equation, have actually beaten the U.S. efforts when it comes to Syria, along with its allies?
Well, I think the Syrian government has won the proverbial war. It's not clear they're going to win the peace. I don't see the United States and the Western allies as really being all that integral to the early stages of the Syrian war. I think that was more Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, Qatar, and other powers in the region. The United States got in pretty late in the game. Remember, it trained some force that disintegrated shortly after it went into Syria. Then there was another one. What was it? The Free Syrian Army, which defected over to Turkish employment. But right now, there is the peace. Remember, early in the conflict, before the war even started, the Saudis were negotiating with Damascus to try to get them to flip diplomatically, to move away from Iran and to move into a Saudi-Sunni sphere of influence. We're seeing that again now. The Emirates are offering them money. They're Saudis are using the Arab League to try to welcome Syria back into the Sunni fold. How's that going to work out? I don't know. But let's bear in mind that Israel does not want Iranian troops next door. That's no secret. I don't really view them as a threat. But the facts on the ground are these, that Israel is attacking Iranian and Hezbollah positions in Syria. And this is critical, the Russians aren't doing anything about it. They are not using their air defense systems. They refuse to give Syria the more sophisticated air defense system, the S-400. They said that Syria doesn't really need a sophisticated air defense system. Well, that's pretty silly. Russia and Israel have actually very strong ties. Israel sells a lot of high tech to Russia, especially its military. And Israel is a conduit for Russian oil coming from the Mediterranean down to Eilat and then into the Red Sea. That's a pretty big thing to Russia. Furthermore, I think Russia wants to use Israeli influence to gain access to the Saudi and Sunni arms bonanzas. Remember, why is the United States, why are Britain supporting the Saudis and the Emirates? It's not because out of any overweening strategic interest. It's because they buy a lot of weapons from the United States. And no president, regardless of his or her political orientation, can just dismiss tens of billions of dollars coming into a well-paying sector. So right now, it's back where we were at the beginning, 2010. The Saudis and the Sunnis are trying to get Damascus to flip. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Assad knows that if he becomes part of the Sunni sphere, it's only a matter of time before the Shia and Alawi of Syria are marginalized and given the state of sectarian hatreds in the country, in the region. Okay. That's not good for the regime there.
All right. So you mentioned Israel and you mentioned Russia. Say, Mohsen Abbas, let's first talk about Russia. I guess since our guest brought it up, how do you see their role in this war so far? And of course, our guest Brian Downing mentioned Russia's relationship with Israel.
Yes, the Russians' role is undeniably critical. It's been pivotal in terms of the air cover that they supplied. I mean, they really, when they came in, they managed to really genuinely dominate the airspace. They managed to push back the U.S. And its own inclination to come in and interfere within the Syrian war on a formal, open, overt level. I think, though, without the Islamic Republic of Iran and its kind of military advisors, and particularly the forces forces of Hezbollah on the ground, even the Russian aerial, if you like, domination would not have achieved the victory. As Ayatollah Khamenei said, you can't underestimate the spirit of the Syrian people themselves, because ultimately the Free Syrian Army did do the fighting as well. It's been a combined effort by this kind of axis, and for the first time on a large scale, a major, if you like, interest of, if you like, US and European imperialism has been thwarted in the Middle East. It was done before when Israel tried to overrun Lebanon and Hezbollah repulsed them, and I think that's probably the reason that the Syrian war was actually opened up, this theater of war was opened up in order to undermine Hezbollah's hold on the borders of Israel. That's what was one of the major, if you like, instigators and objectives. It was really to cut the supply line between Islamic Republic of Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah, which is the issue for Israel. So actually there was a lot going on geopolitically as to why all this happened, but Russia has played a pragmatic game and continues to play a very pragmatic game. I don't think they're the friend of any of those regional areas, regional powers like Syria and Islamic Republic of Iran. Ultimately, they're acting in their own interests. Had they not moved into Syria, it was their last foothold in the Middle East, and the access to the Mediterranean, given what was going on the European and the Ukraine front, it was almost absolutely necessary for the Russians to come in and maintain the foothold. Otherwise, they would have been dislodged altogether. That continues now. The Russians, even as my co-guest rightly pointed out, are only giving that much support which will sustain a kind of repulsion of the American influence. But actually, they're not willing to stop Israel. They're not willing to protect Syria all the way, and they certainly don't seem to be willing to condone the idea that the Islamic Republic should maintain, if you like, its support of Hezbollah within Syria, for instance.
Brian Downing, you mentioned that Israel, well, I should say, you mentioned the U.S. Is targeting Hezbollah, and you said Iranian positions. I think you also mentioned Israel in that statement that you made. Well, first of all, Iran has
Israel
always...
Israel is doing the airstrikes, not okay. The United States at this point.
Correct. So, and I do have to say Iran's position is that it does not have soldiers on the ground. It has military advisors. Nevertheless, my question to you is, if you were to take Iran, Hezbollah, and at the same time Russia, out of the Syrian equation, with the country, Syria, being overran by these Daesh terrorists, what would the situation be like now?
Well, I think most of the rebel groups, and there are far more than ISIL or Daesh out there, I think they've been pretty much defeated. ISIL, Daesh, as you call it, has a few pockets here and there, and then
who defeated
there's a pocket
them?
Out. Pardon me?
Who defeated them?
A lot of people, I would say mostly in the north and the east, it was done by these Syrian Democratic Forces, which are backed by the United States and Britain.
And no Hezbollah there, no Iran there, and no Russia there.
I think, well, you said Iran wasn't there at all. Iran and the other groups have been fighting various rebel groups in the center and in the south. ISIL-Daesh's positions have been by and large elsewhere, and I think they were defeated in eastern Syria and in western Iraq by Kurdish and Arab forces trained, advised, and armed by the U.S. and Britain.
Okay. Sayyid Abbas, if you have a reaction to that, first of all.
Well, I think it's on the surface what the Americans would like everybody to believe, that they were, if you like, the saviors in the north. But ultimately, the Americans were playing the last card they had, because having such a strong foothold in Iraq, which they're still using as their, if you like, base for, if you like, operations in the Middle East, in that part of the world, they were actually really mitigating the total overrunning of the opposition by Assad and by the Hezbollah Iranian-Russian axis. And that's why they dug in with the Kurds. The Kurds were reliable allies for them up there in the north, and they held it on as they did. They did it to ensure that Assad couldn't move as far eastwards as he wanted. And that, if you like, still remains the case in a way. They're still out there controlling large areas. And the suspicion is that they actually are also harboring many of the Daesh and ISIS fraternity and others to this day. Of course, the war is not really fully over. The buffer zones that have been created by Turkey, of course, in that north, kind of north east, northwestern region, or further down in the other end of the north of Syria, they indicate to you that actually the outside powers like Turkey and the US are still very much there. They still have their own interests at heart in creating these buffer zones, not allowing Syria to reconnect as an entire entity, protecting partly also the Daesh forces up in the north. These are all indicators that actually they still have a little guerrilla fighting capability on the ground there.
Okay. In order for this war to end, Brian Downing, we're still seeing, obviously, the terrorists that are still present, that they need to be flushed out or exterminated. But at the same time, we're having Israel attack Syria for what it claims are Iranian positions in Syria. And at the same time, of course, then there's the issue of Turkey, which it wants to pretty much deal a blow to some of those SDF forces. Are these the only two factors preventing the Syrian war to end, do you think?
Well, I think there's another dimension, and we talked about the area in eastern Syria, and what I've been saying for several years now is that the United States and the Saudi and Sunni allies want to break the line of communication between Damascus, Hezbollah in the west, and Tehran. They haven't completely done that, but if you look at a map, those troops are there in part because there's some residual ISIL forces there, in part because there's some oil there, and the oil isn't really very meaningful in global at global levels, but it's pretty important for supporting an economy there, a separate economy in eastern Syria. But I think they want to block that lines of communication between the Shia powers in Damascus and in Hezbollah in Lebanon, and then Tehran. If they can do that, it's going to be very hard for Iran to supply Hezbollah, and it may just wither on the vine.
This is what Iran's leader has said, and I'm going to quote him, Sayyid Mohsen Abbas. The Islamic Republic of Iran sees helping Syria's government and nation as support for the resistance movement against Israel, and is deeply proud of doing it. What does he exactly mean, especially when he says support for the resistance movement against Israel?
Well, I think
no, this is for Sayyid Mohsen Abbas. I'm sorry, Brian Downing.
Khamenei is very astute. He understands that this war is not just about Syria. The regional, if you like, hold that the Zio-American alliance wanted in the Middle East was all down to, again, the gas, the oil, of course, the Golan Heights. Israel is still staking a claim there, and in fact, Genie Oil have started doing their, if you like, their investigations and their sort of their kind of acquisitions in that region. Syria itself has one of the largest gas reserves offshore, and I think perhaps even on land as well it stretches, and that was what the actual French and the British and everybody were running to Assad for before the civil war kicked off, if you like. And I think it was because Assad was not turning to the Europeans and the Americans in terms of being amenable to handing over his resources that actually that was another factor in the unleashing of the likes of Daesh and all the kind of Jabhat al-Nusras and the so-called Free Syrian Army. In reality, everything ultimately does come back down to resources. Syria has plenty of them. And let's not forget that Syria now, devastated as it is, was a nation which wasn't under the auspices of the central bank. It still isn't. It wasn't handing over all its resources. It was looking after the welfare of its people. It had an orderly society, a very peaceful existence. And I think that the whole destruction of Syria was basically because it wasn't coming into line. It still isn't going to come into line. I think that the Western Axis or the Zio-imperialist Axis will still fail in their attempts to try and if you like, drive that wedge. I think it's happened over and over again. And Ayatollah Khamenei is pointing to Yemen. He's pointing to the resistance in Palestine, the resistance in Lebanon, the resistance in Syria, the resistance in Iraq, which is still alive and well. And of course, Islamic Republic itself. This is an arc of resistance, which also extends into Bahrain. There is a clear dividing line. The Americans have sided with Israel according to its interests, and also to make sure that they keep their oil resources flowing out at the cheapest possible prices. And they've got the Saudis scared to bits with this rise of this resistance. And on the back of that, they're going to basically drain them of all the remaining wealth they've got. Until that is over, I'm afraid the conflict in the Middle East is very likely to continue.
One of the things that is a big question mark, Brian Downing, and we're really drawing it to a close here, if you could answer it in less than a minute, is many are wondering if this is what some have called a proxy war. And of course, many are saying that it's not, but you can be the judge of that. Of which Iran is in Syria, and then you have the U.S. also in Syria. If this it was a theater of war, which was to send a message to Iran, but in which the U.S. in many ways has failed, then how do they think that they can threaten Iran militarily?
Well, I view the war as much more between the Saudis and the Sunnis on the one hand, and Syria and Iran on the other. As I said, the United States got into the Syrian conflict kind of late, and it was really only with the rise of ISIL in 2014 that it really went in with large numbers of advisors. There were some artillery units and air support. What's going on now? You know, you mentioned, as the other guest mentioned, the oil and gas out there. There's a lot of it offshore of Israel, too. And you know who's operating those oil fields and gas fields for Israel? Russian companies. It's part of their deal. And bear in mind that as much as Russia wants to support Syria and Iran, it's very difficult for them to balance that off with their interests in Syria. Uh-huh. That is what's going on now. Russia is trying to get some sort of agreement where there's some limited presence of Iranian advisors in Syria. And it's a very tough call. Are they going to be able to, are they going to fight off Israeli Air Force? I don't think they can.
All right, very well. 30 seconds to you, say, Mohsen Abbas. Are we seeing this conflict wind down, or will the U.S. and its allies, and of course Israel, continue with trying to destabilize Syria? 30 seconds.
I think there's going to be guerrilla warfare. I think there's going to be a reinvestment in the same Takfiri forces, but they'll probably be utilized more as terror groups again, hitting and running, if you like. I think there'll be a continued effort to try and bribe Assad away from his alliance with, if you like, Lebanon and the Hezbollah and Islamic Republic of Iran. I think that he's not going to do it. He understands that there is no trust that you can have within this alliance. And I think that ultimately the resistance will grow. People will continue to wake up. The Arab world is not all just operating on a Sunni Shia basis. The fact remains that Qatar has divorced itself from Saudi Arabia at the moment. Morocco has divorced itself more or less from the Saudi sphere as well. Many others are thinking of that, but it's highly unpredictable. Money talks, and at the end of the day, the Saudis have money, the Americans have money. It depends on how much money they're willing to all throw at it and how adamant Israel is that they will get their own way to achieve their Greater Israel, their Yinon plan, and how they can manipulate and persuade the West to back them in continuing to cause the mayhem and the chaos, because they're the root cause of the entire problem in the Middle East, as far as I'm concerned.
Very well, we're going to end it there. Thank you very much, political commentator, Middle East expert Brian Downing was speaking to us from Washington, D.C., and journalist and political commentator Sim Mohsen Abbas from London. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From me, Kavitha, our entire team at the capital, Tehran, is goodbye.